everybody. It's lovely to see you the day on this lovely wet autumn day. We're here today for Thanksgiving. We decided for our family services that we would maybe just hae themes, and we thought we would like to hae a Thanksgiving service. We used to do that before, and we had the harvest and so on. So we thought this time we would just mark it a Thanksgiving service and focus especially on family. So I suggested that we hae a collection a day for Fraserburgh Family Centre. With my work as a teacher, we're involved with the Family Centre a bit. Some of our children go there and they do a fantastic work. I'm not sure if you're aware of them. They're now part of Westfield School and they do lots of things. There's more details in the bulletin. But in my school, again, there's some children that dinna often get to go places with their mums and dads for various reasons. And the family centre take them like once a week and they go to a club and they get to meet with our children and do things that maybe they wouldn't otherwise get the opportunity to do. So again, I'm thankful for my family, that for all the things for the generations gone before me and for my own children. So today I just thought it would be nice to give thanks for family. Dinna worry if you hinna put in a collection. There's a few of you have come in this morning and said, oh no, I forgot. That's okay, we'll continue on into next week. So we'll maybe just put the dish out again next week, or if you want to put it in the normal offering and just marked for Family Centre, that'll be fine. So thank you for Abdi that's given already. So Norman asked last week at the Sunday school if anybody would like to do readings. We had 8 volunteers, which we're just delighted about. So we're going to open with our first 2 readers, Jordan and Andrew. So if you 2 come up, Jordan's going to do the first bit of the verse and Andrew's going to do the second bit of the verse.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 16-17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts.
And whatever you do, wherever in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father for him.
So whatever you do, give thanks, whether it's through songs, hymns, psalms, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That was our opening verses. So we're going to start by singing a hymn that I've actually sung 3 times in the last week and a half. Count Your Blessings. It was in the ladies' meeting on Thursday past. We were urged to count our blessings. We sang it last Sunday night as well, and I'd already picked it, so we're singing it again. So obviously it's a message that we're all meant to think of, that we've got lots to thank God for. It's awfa easy to moan and think, well, I've this and I've this and I've this, and I ken I'm the worst ane, but we've also so much to be thankful for. So just bear in mind the words as we sing this song.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to ask Nathan and Adam to come and do their readings, and then we'll ask Richard to open in prayer.
Galatians chapter 3, 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
2 Corinthians 6 to 18. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty.
Yeah, let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love to us this morning. We've so much to bless and to thank thee for, Heavenly Father. For temporal things like health and strength and soundness of body and mind. For just being able to walk into this building to meet with one another this morning. You've been so good to us and blessed us. And Lord, we just thank you for your love towards us and each one of us. We thank you this morning for your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way that he came into this world and for all that he's done for us. Heavenly Father, we just pray that your Spirit would be with us this morning in this place. Bless everyone gathered here, every family represented, from the very youngest to the very oldest, Father. We pray that we would know thy Spirit's presence amongst us. We have so much to give thee thanks for this morning as we look out across our world. So great needs, Heavenly Father. You have truly blessed each one of us. And we just give you our thanks today. Just for all that will be done and said here today, Father, we be to your glory. And just thank you for your goodness, Lord. Think of any that are laid aside at this time and those that mourn. We just pray that you'll be with them, Father. For all our needs, Heavenly Father, for our families and those that are not here, we just pray for them this morning. Lord, we have so much to bless and praise and thank thee for. We read in the meeting this morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We have so much to bless and praise and thank thee for this morning, in and through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we ever live to bless and praise thee, Father, and give thee glory. This we ask and pray, and may the glory all go to Jesus this morning, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Right, if the boys and girls would like to come down to the front, we'll hear our story. Got some special things to show you, some special things up on the screen. I'm very thankful because my PowerPoint wasn't working about 10 minutes ago, but we've got there. So I had a mini panic, but very thankful it's working. Got our pictures up. Okay, so I chose this picture because today we're learning about families and saying thank you to God for our families. And I just like this. I thank God for this amazing family because every family is amazing. You've managed to squeeze the end, Andrew. That's fine. Okay, now last week I asked you to do me a favour. Leah, will you tell Abdi what favour I asked you to do? Can you remember what I asked you to do? You did something maybe yesterday and Mom took a photo. Do you remember? Mum, do you remember? What did you bring with you the day, Isla, that's on the table? What did you draw?
A picture of your family.
I asked if we could get some pictures of our families, and I think well, I kind of forgot, myself included, and Samuel was going to draw me a picture this morning, but he's not very well today, so he hasn't even got a picture up. But we've got some up on the screen, and we've got some on paper. So Rebecca, if you could go at the first one, Oh, I've put this in the wrong order, that's what it is. I like this picture. You don't choose your family, they are God's gift to you as you are to them. And here's a picture of a family looking happy. Right, here's Leah's picture. Lovely picture of Erin and her family. So all I said was, can you draw a picture of your family? So we've got lots of different pictures. Can you see the next stain? This is Erin's one. I like your colours, Erin. Is that you, Rean? You draw it, Rean? It's you, Rean. And the next stain, this was Ezra's. He ruined Granny's tablecloth when he was drawing it, Rean, so that's even more special. Granny will mind it for a long time. And this is Andrew's, Rean. He chose to do a family tree. We are his family, and there's even a bump in there as well. So it's exciting that your family's getting bigger all the time. And I've got, let's see, whose is this one? Was this Matthew's? This is Matthew's, Rean. He's even drawn kisses on his, so he must love his family very much. I love his dogs as well. Very important to get the dogs in there. Interestingly, he's got a sad picture on the back. I'm not going to ask why. It was you, or maybe you're in the bad books. And Rachel, was this yours? Very special. So are the girls in red and the boys in blue? Oh, I wonder that. And you've got the dogs in it as well. Lovely. And Isla, is this your one? Wow. And you've got, is it red for the girls and blue for the boys as well? Mummy's got blue. Why is mummy blue? Daddy's got red. Why is daddy red? Oh, is everybody different colours? Oh, so we've got a few blues. Very good. Beautiful. See, every family is special. Every picture's different that we've got, but it doesn't matter because every family is different and every family is special. There's lots of families in the Bible. They were typical families because sometimes they got on, sometimes they didn't get on, sometimes they'd happy times, sometimes they'd sad times. That's a family for you. There's no perfect family. We wish there was, but there's nae. But God has a plan for every family. Now let's see the next picture. Can anybody tell me what family this was? You can, Leah.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus and
Mary and Joseph.
Well done. A wee bit of help for Rachel there. So I had to put them in there because they are a family. They weren't a normal family because Joseph wasn't Jesus' dad. But they were still a family. So I've got them in there. The next picture, do we know where these people are? They're quite old. Can anybody guess where they are? It's quite surprising because they thought they would never have a baby because they were so old. Do you ken, Andrew?
Isaac's family.
That's right. It was Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. Well done. So they're really happy because they thought they wouldn't get a baby, but they were really old when their baby came. They even laughed when the angel said to them, you're going to have a baby. But they finally got their family. And it tells us in the Bible that they were blessed because of it. And we're going to sing the song Father Abraham later on because they trusted in God and God blessed them and told them that their family would get bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. Right, let's see the next picture. Ooh, us two boys are not getting on. Now, I'm not going to ask if I doesn't get on with their brother or their sister because I think we'll maybe get a few hands up. Can anybody guess where they are? Sorry, I keep breathing into this mic. Hey, Adam?
Moses.
It's name Moses.
Esau and Joseph.
Oh, you're nearly right. Well done. It's Esau and
Jacob.
Well done. They didn't get on at all. Even when they were in their mummy's belly, because they were twins, they didn't get on. They even had a fight in their mom's belly. And then the Bible tells us that they really didn't get on. So that was them. Right, the next picture. This is somebody that had lots of boys. Does anybody know who that is? Can I see? It begins with J. Was the dad's name. You've already said it.
Joseph.
It is Joseph, and his dad was called
Jacob.
Jacob.
Jacob. It was Jacob and his 12 sons. And he liked Joseph the best and he gave him a special coat because he shouldn't have made him his favourite. And the brothers were really jealous and it caused a lot of trouble. But finally, they were a happy family at the end. And again, if they lived happily ever after, like some of the stories we hear, but they did have a reasonably happy ending. And the next picture is another family. This was a special lady. She couldn't have children and she was really sad. And she prayed to God and she made a promise. God, if you give me a son, I promise I will dedicate him to the temple. Does anybody know the boy's name? It's the same name as my boy. I laugh, it's my boy's name.
Samuel.
It's Samuel. So this boy here was also Samuel. It's named my Samuel. His mom was called Hannah, and she kept her promise to God because when Samuel was old enough, she gave him to the temple, and he worked in the temple with Eli the priest. Now, that was just a quick run through of some of the well-known families in the Bible that I thought of. The next story I'm going to tell you is not a family in the Bible, but you'll maybe have heard of them. I wonder if you can tell me who these people are. Erin Kens. Who else came for that? Do you ken, Rachel?
They're superheroes that can stretch.
You're spoiling my story. You're right, they are superheroes. Do you ken their name?
Incredibles.
The Incredibles. Now, to be honest, I hadn't seen the film for ages, and Erin went to see The Incredibles 2 over the summer, so I think they've come a bit more popular again. So I don't know if anybody kens their names. Might need to go back to Erin again. Do you ken any of them? Right, you tell us.
Elastigirl and Jack.
Is that a baby?
Dosh, Violet, and I forgot a dad's name.
Dad's name's just Mr. Incredible. I think he gets called Bob. And so the mom is... So dad, Mr. Incredible, sometimes known as Bob. Mom, Elastigirl. The girl's called Violet. The son is called Dosh, and the baby is called Jack. And Rachel, I have written down here a question. What is special about this family? And you've already told me they're superheroes. And they've got superpowers. Has anybody in your family got superpowers? I'm not seeing any nods here. No, I don't really think there's anybody in your family got superpowers either. If you could have any superpower, what would you want to do? Ooh, if you could do anything. Pardon? Barbie superheroes too. Well, she maybe is. Can you think of a superpower you would like?
I'd like a superpower to be so strong.
To be so strong. Oh, that's a good one. Anybody else got in? You got in. What would you like to do if you could hit any superpower?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, I think strong would be a good one. I think Rachel's been reading my notes. Because the first person we're going to look at is Mr. Incredible. I don't know if it's happened to my word, it's going a bit squint. And Rachel, it says strong. Did you read my notes before you came up here? Mr. Incredible's really strong. Now, in the Bible, it tells us in Philippians 4:13, we can do everything through God who makes us strong. So anything we want to be able to do, if we ask God to help us, he'll make us strong enough to do it. So we're incredible as well. And we've got the power of God available to us at all times. We just need to ask him when we pray. Okay, so let's look at the next person. Now, again, my word's going a bit funny. This is Elastigirl that Rachel mentioned earlier. I definitely think she's been reading my notes. This is a mom. She's very stretchy. And I read some why. She can stretch any part of her body up to 300 feet and can be 1 millimetre thin. Now, I'm pretty sure that most moms in here would really like that superpower to be able to stretch that far and mark themselves that thin. I can, I would. But every day, God is stretching us, a bit like Elastigirl being stretched. God is asking you to do things that maybe you aren't comfortable with. Now, I didn't really feel comfortable leading the service. I'm okay doing a children's story, but I didn't like leading the service. So the day I was being stretched to do that. God's asking you to do things that maybe you just feel a little bit uncomfortable with. Maybe it's asking the child in your class that folk aren't really very nice to them. Maybe saying to them, would you like to play with me? Maybe if your friends are being nasty to somebody else, instead of joining in, you say, no, that's not nice. You need to be nice to that person and be standing up for what you can is right. God is stretching you to do that. Maybe it's to work harder at your schoolwork. Maybe God's asking you to do that as well. And God kens how far we can stretch. He'll never push us any further than we need to. But he likes us just to be stretched a little bit each day so that we can become more like him. And that we can become more incredible, just like the Incredibles. Okay, the next picture. This is Dash. He's really, really fast. Anakin Aaron, are you really fast when you run races? You're so fast. Well, you'll be like Dash then. They run off without you, do you? Have you got to race to keep up with them? You're the fastest. That's amazing. You're like Dash then. Well, apparently at the end of the film, because I can't remember, Dash's mum and dad didn't want him to finish the race. They wanted him to do it well, but the most important thing wasn't to finish the race. But that's like us as Christians. We're in a race that God's asking us to run, but it's a long race. Lasts our whole life. And it doesn't matter if us finished first, it matters that you run it well. And that means that you live your life for God and you do things for him. That's most important. God wants us to finish the race the best we can. So we are always winners with God, and that makes us incredible. So that means doing things for God, helping people, being kind to people, inviting people along to church, telling people that Jesus loves them. That is how you can run the race well. Right, the next person, this is Violet. She's got a force field around about her, and she's got her hands up. Can you see that? And when she gets a force field, she's protected. Well, nobody puts their hands together to pray, but it reminds us that if you pray to God to protect you, that he will look after you, but you've got to ask God to help you. But prayer is really, really important. Just talking to God. I was telling the boys and girls in my class this week about how Muslims pray, and they've got to wash in a really deliberate way. They've got a whole routine they've got to follow before they're even allowed to start praying, and they've got to pray in a certain way. They've got to move their hands in a certain way. They've got to say certain words when they pray to who they believe is Allah. But we can pray any time to God. We can pray any time. You don't have to be clean. You can be dirty. You can have been playing outside and be covered in mud. It doesn't matter. You can pray to God any time. It's a conversation that we have with God, and that's incredible for us. Right, the next picture, it's not actually Jack. It's, where did I get his name? This is Frozone. So he was a friend of the family, because sometimes friends of the family become like your family as well. Sometimes you might even call them auntie or uncle or whatever. So this is Frozone. He's got moisture in his body to produce ice. So here he is, he's got his hand up, and he can freeze things. And this reminds us of the Holy Spirit being like water. If Frozone was dry, he couldn't help those around him and produce ice. He has to be full of liquid or water. Just like him, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit so we can give to others what they need. And we need to fill up, we need to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit and that he'll help us when we face different things. So, to round up, we're strong like Mr. Incredible. We're stretched like Elastigirl. We can produce a force field like Violet. And we're winners in the race we're in, and we always have the Holy Spirit around us to give to others what they need. We are all incredible. God has made you all different. I'm looking at you, you're different ages. Some are boys, some are girls. You've all got different hair, different eye colour. God has made you the way you are, just the way you are, and you're special. You are incredible. So even if you didn't mind anything else today, mind that God loves you no matter who you are, that your family is, God always loves you and he never forgets about you. Now, last picture. I am a child of God. Yes, you've got a family, with moms, dads, grannies, granddads, whatever it may be, But if you're a Christian, you're part of God's family. You're a child of God because he is your heavenly father. And all other Christians are your brothers and sisters. And sometimes when you go through life, you'll think, is there something special about that person? And you find out that they are actually a Christian as well. I'm sure there's many people in here would be able to tell you about a time that God has given them a friend or given them somebody just the right time that they needed somebody. When I was training to be a teacher, I didn't know very many people. And God gave me a friend, Faye Peterhead, and we had that in common. And when we started speaking, I found out that she was a Christian as well. And that was my friend when I really needed him, when I was at college and I wasn't abiding at home. Because that's when God realized I needed somebody special in my life. So that's really special that no matter where you go, God will give you brothers and sisters in Christ to help look after you as well. You can join God's family at any age, but you've got to ask God into your heart. So if you haven't done that already, you need to think about that if you want to be part of God's family. Right, thank you very much for listening, boys and girls. Now we're going to hear the song Father Abraham. So do you want to come up here and show the mums and dads' actions? Because I didn't think they can it. And I'll give Rebecca a wee second to hopefully find it. So up you come. You know how to come up if you want to. Rachel, are you coming up? No, that's okay. Up you come, Andrew. You come in? No. What a few doing a day. I think Matthew and Darcy are doing their parading for the Girls' Brigade and Boys' Brigade a day. So we're a few volunteers short the day. Right, do you want to come along here a wee bit? So this is for the children's meeting. Hopefully Rebecca's managed to find it. Have you got it, Rebecca? Here we go. Now it's Father Abraham, so I think you are okay in it. You should okay in the words anyway. That was a definite praise the Lord, Auntie. Thank you very much for volunteering to come and show us that. You know, it's not an easy to show. It's an Arlene, but the Arlene's are always the best. Okay, announcements. I've already mentioned about the collection. The rest of the announcements are in the bulletin. Please remember the Cafe of the Morn is a fundraiser for Children First, so please support that. The holidays are coming up, so there's no Sunday school or cafe during the holidays. There's tea after the service, so please stay behind for that. And for the children, if we maybe go during the third hymn for creche, that's maybe a good idea of the day. Okay, Samuel was going to do the next reading, but he's not well a day, so I'll do his reading. And it was the same verse that I spoke about in my story, Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So basically, don't worry, do pray. I think I found a picture about that this week. It's just reminding you that give thanks in everything, even in a bad situation, which is hard to do sometimes. But God's just reminding you that he's there through everything. Right, we're going to sing Father, I Place Into Your Hands. And we'll take up a collection during that song. And the children can go to creche during that song as well. And then after we've sung that song, Albert's going to pray.
I better speak through the mic and make sure that nobody hears me. I've enough of soft vice growing. Throat dries up and the vice faints as far as I want. So I hope nobody can hear me. Nobody hear me all right? Okay, that's good. Let's just bow our heads in God's presence this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the day that you've set aside that we can assemble ourselves together and come into this place of worship your house, to praise and glorify thy name and the Son of righteousness, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for him this morning, Father. We have so much to praise and thank you for. And we lift up our praise and adoration this morning. And we have been told through your word that he could say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all manner of men and women and boys and girls unto myself. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, that throughout this day, throughout our land, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is being lifted up. But we pray especially at this time, Father, for our brothers and sisters in foreign lands. You've told us to be intercessors, to intercede, to pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted and prosecuted just for the precious name of Jesus. And we thank you this morning, Father, for the freedom we have to gather here together this morning without fear of man, without fear of authority, without fear of interruption. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can lift up our Ebenezer to you this morning and say, great is the God we adore. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness to us. You've brought us to this place this morning in health and strength, and we thank you for it. So much, Father, we have to thank you for. Every good and perfect gift comes from thy bounteous hand. And, Father, we lack for nothing. And so, Father, we just pray for our brothers and sisters who are being locked up and killed and prosecuted and persecuted for your name. We pray for them, Father, in this thy day, that they may be strengthened in their own hearts, strengthen their faith, Father. Pray for the families who are left behind. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you will bless them as we would intercede for them. We pray for those who would have loved to have been here today, Father, but through various circumstances of life they cannot manage. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that wherever they may be, our brothers and sisters, we just ask that you will meet with them at the point of their need this morning. As our faces differ, Father, so does our needs. We do not need to hear once, Father. You've promised that you'll supply our every need. And we thank you, Father, that everything comes from you. Thank you for each family represented here this morning. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, as we continue this service, that everything that has been said and done and will be said and done and sung will be done for your honor and for your glory, for you alone are worthy. So, Father, we pray this down of Fraserburgh, and we just ask it wherever the name of the Lord Jesus is lifted up this morning. In this town, we pray, Heavenly Father, you'll draw all manner of men and women unto thyself. So, Lord, we give you thanks for this day again and for all that you mean to us. And we thank you for all that we mean to you. You gave your only begotten Son to die in my room instead. And we thank you that this morning we are redeemed. If we are born again of the Spirit of God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, Saviour and Friend, that we can call upon at any time of night and day. So, Father, bless each family represented this morning. And we thank you for them. Thank you for Bernice, Father, that they're gathered here today. And for those who couldn't manage, we just thank you for them, Father. And we give you our thanks in that precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whose name we pray. Amen.
Now, I have an apology to make because I missed out two readings. So, Leah, would you like to come up? And I missed out Isla as well, and she's going to creche. So maybe if you want to ask her during the tea if she wants to do her star turn since she was practicing it. Right, so it's 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
I'm very sorry for missing you, Leah. You've waited your turn. Right, the next reading we're going to hear is from Erin, and it's Romans 8, 12, 7 to 17. And then after that, I'll ask Robbie to come up and pass on his message.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Well, big thanks to Alma this morning for all her work in setting this service up. It's much appreciated. Just a few thoughts, really, this morning on that passage that Erin has just read for us, but also looking generally at what the Bible has to say about family, because according to official statistics, the UK has the highest rate of family breakdown in Europe. 5% of teenagers studying for the GCSEs are not living with both parents. That's according to Christian Research, Action Research and Education. They also say that parents who marry before they have a child are far more likely to stay together. And some 19% of parents in our nation are described as unmarried, cohabiting, and yet they account for some 50% of all family breakdown. And all this has repercussions for the way our young people are thinking and acting today, because while most teenagers still aspire to marry, apparently only half will do so. In the UK today, then, there is a worrying trend to forgo the traditional and biblical model of marriage. What I'd like to do briefly is to look at three things this morning: a human family, a divine family, and a suffering family. The first is a brief look at what the Bible says about family generally, while the second touches upon the crucial issue of how us, mere creatures, can yet become part of God's family, while the third speaks of the cost of such a privilege. Let's look at what the Bible says, shall we, about human family first, because it is clear that the concept of family originates with God. If you go to Genesis 1 and 2, you will see that God has created man and woman as a complementary pairing in his own image, to be bound together in union. And of course, they were given the mandate to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And having done so, God's word then gives plenty of instruction on how we are to behave within this God-given family unit. A good starting place is actually something we'll look at next Sunday morning, the fifth commandment, which exhorts us to honour our parents. That is echoed elsewhere in Scripture. If you go to Proverbs 13, for example, we are told that a wise son hears his father's instruction, and that a father who loves his son is diligent to discipline him. Likewise, in Hebrews 12, which quotes Proverbs 3, correction and discipline are once more connected with love. Discipline, in other words, is to be affirming, not aggressive. It is to be loving, not driven by anger and hate. And so Paul could say to the Colossians that when we discipline our children, it must not provoke or discourage them. The point is that the concept of family originates with God, and this unit, including relations between parents and children, are somehow to reflect God's loving character as the one who both disciplines and loves us, his children. We are to train our children in holiness and truth, says Proverbs 23, just as the Lord does with us. But the relationship between a man and a wife is also important. If you go to Ephesians 5, after telling husbands to love their wives as Christ loves his church, I'll pause and say that again for us husbands and future husbands. We're to love our wife as Christ loves his church. And after giving her the love we have for ourselves, says Paul, he then exhorts wives similarly to respect their husbands and give them their place. And it is from this basis, this firm basis, that the rearing of children in wisdom becomes godly. So Paul then revisits the fifth commandments again in Ephesians, now into chapter 6, and once more commands fathers to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So there we have a brief take on human family, the importance of family life originating from God in the Bible. There, of course, are many other verses in both Testaments. We looked at some this morning that were read for us. But this is just a sample. God creates family, and we as parents are to create an environment of loving discipline within them, somehow reflecting God's dealings with us. God's word, and this is important in these days, triumphs family life and provides us with wisdom on how we're to live it out. Human family. Secondly, there's a divine family. What a privilege it is. Because if you're a Christian here this morning, you're a member of God's family. How did this happen? Well, Jesus tells us it's when you bend the knee to him. Apostle John records this in his gospel in the first chapter. All who did receive him, that is Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. You're a child of God if you have faith in Christ. Paul takes up that theme a bit more deeply in Galatians 4. He says that children are the same as slaves in the sense that while an inheritance is theirs, they remain under the control and power of guardians of the Father until they enter into their inheritance at a set age. Paul likens this, of course, to those Jews under the Old Testament law. They were like slaves to the law, which was meant to be a stepping stone towards the day in the fullness of time, he says, when Christ would come. You see, the law was to reveal our sin. It shows us that we could never keep it, that we could never please God in and of ourselves. But what it did do was lay the groundwork for the coming of Messiah Jesus. So now through him and by his Spirit, we can approach God as children, crying, Abba, Father. You see, Christ fulfilled all the requirements and righteousness of the law, fully, perfectly. Paul goes on to say this again in the passage Erin read for us. It's very reminiscent here of Galatians 4, and that's Romans 8, 12 to 17. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. It's a lovely word, Abba. It's an Aramaic word. It's an affectionate way of saying Father, just like when my children call me Daddy. Or it could be a more intimate way of saying Father, such as Dear Father. There's a tenderness there. It's the distinctive prayer of Jesus that defined God in intimate personal terms. He then gives it to his disciples as a sign of their identity. And now he's saying, says Paul, that all believers can pray the same prayer in the Spirit because all in Christ are children of the Father through faith in Jesus. And by this same Spirit, verse 16, we can also be assured of our adoption. If Christ gives us the status of sonship, the Spirit gives us the experience and assurance of it. You know if you're a child of God. You know. And it all comes through the affectionate, confidential intimacy of our access to God in prayer, in which we find ourselves assuming the attitude and using the language, not of slaves anymore, but of sons, daughters. An assurance of his presence comes by the quiet inward witness of the Spirit as we pray, Abba, Father. That is why, by the way, it is the prayerless Christian who's the least assured of their own salvation. Those who commune habitually with their Heavenly Father, crying Abba. Those who walk most closely with him, not in the flesh, says Paul, but in the Spirit, they are the ones who are most assured of their salvation. And because of this adoption, marvelously, mysteriously, the New Testament tells us that we can call Jesus Christ our brother. Why? Because we both share the same Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. So that's the divine family. What a privilege it is if you're a Christian. Live it out. Bear the family likeness. As often with Scripture, though, finally, there's a sting in the tail because there's a suffering family too, thirdly. You know, this idea of sonship is rooted way back in the Old Testament. It was given to Israel. She was uniquely privileged, and this calling set her apart from all the other nations. But sonship was also synonymous with rescue, humiliation, oppression, death, destruction. In short, her status as children preserved her through the suffering she would endure on account of being so privileged by God. And we know this rescue was needed, both from Egypt and from exile. But even the greatest oppressors in the cosmos could not invalidate this family status. That's the idea Paul takes up in these verses in Romans 8. The idea of suffering and sonship going together. The child status and persecution which went with it in Judaism now applies to all those in Christ, says Paul, verse 17. Jews suffered because of their unique relationship with God, so we too must do so on the same account, because of our unique relationship with Jesus Christ. Pain goes with inheritance. In fact, the word suffer with mean that we suffer just as Jesus did. You go back to Romans 6, Paul says, we die with Christ in baptism. That is what he's commanding us in Romans 6. Baptism is death. We are then raised to life, and we get to Romans 8 and we're told we may have life, we may have sonship, but we suffer on account of this in an evil age where sin rules. And it's present tense language, it's lifelong suffering. Sonship is only for those who conquer. Revelation 22 says the same. Why? It's so we may be glorified with Jesus, says Paul. Glory describes the radiance of God. It characterizes God's original creation. It was lost by Adam. It's been restored through Messiah Jesus. That is our reward in a new creation. We will be glorified just as Christ is. Yes. But suffering must come first. Let me tell you, if you stand up for Jesus Christ, living not in the flesh but by the Spirit, in this godless age, whether it be at work, in the home, in your social circle, It doesn't matter where. If you stand up tall and true for Jesus Christ, persecution to some degree will naturally follow. It is not optional. And there's no glory without it. But Paul's question to you would be, is adoption into this divine family not worth any light and temporary afflictions that we suffer for Jesus' name? So there we have it. Paul says that all in Christ, Jew or Gentile, are children if they have the Spirit. Being an heir is no longer to do with faithfulness to the law. It is to rather be defined by being in Christ. It is we who have been adopted into God's family. There has been a legal change of status. I mean, you'll notice the gulf between slavery and adoption. One is characterized by fear of the master, the other by intimacy of a family. And the evidence is that we can cry, Abba, Father. We're now heirs of the promise, as the children's song given to Abraham. Yes, suffering may come as a result, but adoption means that we will enter into the inheritance of a new creation, where we will co-reign with Jesus Christ, our brother.
Thank you, Robbie. We're going to close our service by singing the hymn, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. And I'll ask Robbie to close in prayer and give thanks for the tea.
Father God, we pray for blessing on every family here represented, that you would cover them with your grace and your peace and your blessing. And may any here who remain outside the divine family of God find today to be the day of their adoption through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the refreshments we are now about to enjoy. Bless them to our bodies. And may the love of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you all now and forevermore. Amen.